You're listening to SearchSecurity.com's Security Newsmaker Podcast. Hi, this is Neil Reuter. Today we're speaking with Dave Jevons, chairman of the Anti-Phishing Working Group. Dave is also CEO of IronKey and was formerly with Tumbleweed. Today we'll talk about the staggering growth of phishing, as well as spam and other email-borne attacks since the Anti-Phishing Working Group was founded 5 years ago. Welcome to Security Newsmaker, Dave.
It's a pleasure.
Dave, the Anti-Phishing Working Group was founded in 2003. Over those 5 years, how has its mission and services evolved?
Well, Neil, back when we started in 2003, phishing was just a very emerging phenomenon. We were starting to see a little bit of it in Europe and in Australia, and it was just starting to happen here in the U.S. At the time, we got together with about 20 financial institutions and e-commerce vendors, and I think back then we were really looking at just understanding the scope of the problem and trying to educate our members about the problem that, you know, there were people on the internet that were sending out fake emails and running fake websites to steal passwords. So that was the initial focus, was education and trying to come to some sort of industry consensus about what could be done. And as the problem grew and grew much more rapidly, we began to expand the mission. We started publishing statistics about how much phishing we were seeing. Those eventually expanded to talk about different kinds of attack technologies that were being used. Eventually, we had to start including information about crimeware, which is malicious code that gets on your computer designed to steal passwords. And that eventually evolved into tracking botnets. So the statistics and the methodology have evolved dramatically. The working group's mission has expanded to include really connecting different parts of the industry. So connecting ISPs with law enforcement, with security vendors, with financial institutions. And now we're starting to see a lot more activity in the phishing world against social networking sites, different kinds of entertainment sites where there's ways to get money out of the system. So we continue to expand the mission and scope of the working group. We also run conferences, which are closed-door sessions where we can talk quite openly about the different kinds of attacks and the different methodologies to defend against those attacks. And we've now actually expanded that entire agenda to have an Electronic Crime Research Summit, and we've recently partnered with the IEEE to really put together an annual agenda where we look at electronic crime research as its own specific scientific endeavor, if you will, and that's been very, very successful as well.
You mentioned things like Facebook and MySpace. Tell me a little bit more about how the Web 2.0 sites have changed phishing.
Well, we've definitely seen it change as a new set of targets. It's also been used as a vector to spread both phishing and malware and to drive traffic virally to those sites instead of having to send out millions or hundreds of millions of emails. So yes, the social networking sites are increasingly coming under attack, both for people to steal credentials and to use it as a viral distribution mechanism.
The group's first quarter report on phishing trends showed an enormous increase in the number of unique phishing URLs, sites with password stealing code. First, does this dramatic increase in sites reflect a growing phishing problem, or are the bad guys just adding more targets as anti-phishing activity is more successful against them?
Well, I think it's a little bit of both. We definitely see every time the industry evolves its methodology to better fight phishing and crimeware, within a couple of months, the bad guys evolve their techniques and technologies in ways that we hadn't thought about, and they dramatically increase the volume or the difficulty that we have to take these sites down and track them. What you can see with the recent results that we published is that sites that are hosting basically crimeware that steals passwords have dramatically increased in 1 year period. The number of sites that we've been tracking in a given month has increased about more than four times. The bad guys are definitely trying to infect more computers. There's more folks involved in the electronic crime industry, so you have crime gangs spreading out around the world. They have better communication. So it's definitely getting worse, I would say, in all those different aspects.
So are we losing the battle? Are we winning the battle? Or is it too soon to tell?
Well, I would have to say that we win the battles, but the war continues to rage on, and I would say that it hasn't changed. It hasn't gotten any better. We do continue to make progress. We see a lot more international cooperation among law enforcement and the technology industry and the financial services industry. So more people are getting caught and thrown in jail. So that's very, very positive. We are evolving cooperation internationally so that police forces can work together to nab these global groups. So that's very, very positive. The technology industry has evolved some good technologies and as well as some good processes for taking sites down. And I would say the industry as a whole has become much more educated about the problems and what other people are seeing and best practices. But we are definitely playing a catch-up game. And the bad guys are often leveraging problems with the internet architecture. For example, that email is largely unauthenticated, which allows them to send out spoofed emails. And as an industry, we really need to pretty much upgrade all of the millions of mail servers on the planet. And that is just a monstrous task. It's education of millions of ISPs and website owners and what technologies to use. And it's going to take many, 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 many years just to solve that part of the problem.
Are phishers targeting mostly the American populace? Are we still overwhelmingly the prime target, or are we starting to see changes there?
We're definitely seeing changes there. I would say the main targets would be typically European, primarily UK, as well as American consumers. Australia's had its fair share of problems since 2003, where small number of financial institutions, very easy to target customers, so they continually have things going on there. We see, in, for example, in Brazil, very, very advanced phishing and crimeware, where the gangs are very organized and they are constantly putting out new versions of malicious software that current antivirus technology doesn't really protect consumers against because they just release this stuff too quickly. So it's definitely a global problem. We're even starting to see phishing attacks against Middle Eastern financial institutions. It's definitely global.
Are most of the attacks still what you might describe as broad shotgun-style phishing attacks? In other words, you send out millions of Acme Megabank emails, hoping that a certain percentage of those will actually reach customers and a small percentage of those will actually take the bait, or are we seeing more targeted kind of attacks?
Well, we're definitely seeing both. There continues to be a constant wave of hundreds of millions or billions of phishing emails a year being sent out, fairly scattershot, targeting very global brands. So that continues unabated. There hasn't really been a slowdown in that. In fact, it generally increases as spam filtering technology increases. The answer for the bad guys is send more, and you will continue to get your response rates up. But we're definitely seeing in the last year to year and a half the emergence of very targeted spear phishing attacks where they might go after specific individuals inside of companies or government agencies. They'll know the name, they'll know the position, and they will craft very targeted messages that will not show up in any kind of spam filter because they're targeted directly at the person. We sometimes will see social networking sites used as a vector to target people. So if you can see that people are linked to each other and you can figure out their email address or you can get it from a spam list and do some automated matching, we'll see targeting that way. We also see targeting where people have stolen databases of information through other kinds of breaches. So they have name, contact information, some partial data. And oftentimes we'll see spear phishing attacks against what appear to be the contents of known compromised databases.
Is there any empirical evidence that user education is paying off? Casual conversations and anecdotally, it seems people are more aware and they're more cautious about responding to what might be a phishing attack. But do we have any way to judge the impact?
It's very difficult to judge the impact. I think it's pretty clear that user education has been very beneficial over the last several years. The media has done a very good job about educating consumers, about publishing statistics. So I think overall education has been effective to some extent. I think the reality is that probably only half the people out there are educated enough to not just go randomly click on emails. And here's the challenge. Is that the bad guys, by getting more sophisticated, by leveraging social networking sites and things like that, are better able to create much more convincing fakes where people don't necessarily think they're fake. But yeah, as far as measuring it, it's very difficult.
By the same token, if we assume a better educated user base out there, talk about the chilling effect on business. When I see an email from Bank of America or Amazon or Gap or whatever, my first instinct is that it's a phishing message. Has phishing effectively killed email or severely damaged email as a legitimate commercial tool?
Well, I would say phishing and spam in general have definitely made a huge impact negatively towards the effectiveness of email as a communication vehicle between companies and their customers. Smart companies these days will generally not send email with links in it, because if they do, they're educating their customers to click on links in email, and that really does educate your customers to become victims of phishing attacks. So it has been a challenge for companies to communicate with their customers. I think in general, as you look at the spam environment, that has also, with all of the anti-spam filters, that's basically made direct communication difficult. And I guess on the good side, it's fostered an entire industry of email service providers whose job it is to make sure that email is delivered effectively. And those folks tend to be on the cutting edge of anti-phishing technology, whereby they're digitally signing email, they're identifying mail servers, IP addresses with sender ID and SPF. So those folks tend to get it and are able to be effective in the environment. But smaller companies trying to send out emails directly to customers have been certainly adversely affected.
The number of phishing reports to the group was actually down from last year. Are there any particular conclusions to draw from this?
We track many, many different metrics. We track consumers reporting phishing sites directly to us. That's number of phishing reports received. That tends to go up and down. I think there's some seasonality with it. It also sometimes depends on which phishing gangs are sending out which messages. And I think it may be a reflection to some extent of consumer education, whereby people eventually, after receiving so many phishing emails, they just delete them rather than report them. So you get some of that. I think it also illustrates the effectiveness of spam filters, which continue to get more and more effective. I think more illustrative is to take a look at the number of phishing sites, which typically tends to grow. It again goes in cycles depending on the technology that the different phishing gangs are using. There is some seasonality. We do see that some of the phishing gangs taking August off for summer holidays, that type of thing. The other thing, though, that we start to have to track are brand domain pairs. So that one phishing site may host many, many different phishing attacks against numerous different companies all hosted on the same site. So you have to start looking at all of these increasingly sophisticated metrics. I think what it means is it's very difficult for someone who's not educated in the state of the art to come to a simple conclusion about, is it getting better or worse? Because frankly, even the experts are having to continually evolve new methodologies to track the problem.
Besides slicker messaging, slicker sites, from a technological point of view, what are some of the things that the bad guys are doing to counter the anti-phishing efforts?
Well, the bad guys have been doing a number of different things to try to make sure that their phishing sites don't get taken down. A takedown is typically when someone's discovered a site or reported it, then a company will call the ISP or email them a contact there and say, hey, there's a fraudulent site running on your network. Take it off the network. And that is kind of the reactive whack-a-mole situation that we find ourselves in. So what the bad guys have been doing is they've been inventing new technologies, for example, fast flux technology, where they will host a phishing site on multiple sites, and then they will register a domain name for that site, and then they will move that domain name's IP address around continually, so it will continually cycle around many different sites. Sometimes they'll even do that for DNS servers, so it makes it very, very difficult to get the websites taken down. If they register domain names and they move them around, it makes it very, very difficult to get that whole network of sites taken down. So our response has been to work with ICANN and the registrars to start educating them about how their systems are being abused, because they really didn't have any awareness of phishing in general until the last, I would say, year or less that we've been working with ICANN to educate these folks. So we're now trying to put together policies and best practices for registries and registrars to be alerted about abuse of their systems, which is being used for phishing, and to get takedowns done at the registry and registrar level. So that's an example where the battle continues to change, where the bad guys invent a whole new technology to abuse the system on a massive scale, and then the industry has to come together, because we're a distributed industry. There's not one central point of control for the internet, and you have to educate the infrastructure providers. You have to work on practices and policies. You have to travel around the world and meet at these different locations, at ICANN meetings and different kinds of conferences around the world. So it can take many years to get the infrastructure up, and during that time, the bad guys are continually abusing it.
The Anti-Phishing Working Group just concluded its general meeting.
I know that's a closed meeting just for members and you can't go into detail about it, but can you talk some about the role of that meeting and its importance?
Yes, we recently had a general members meeting in Atlanta, Georgia, and it was very much attended by a global audience. So we had people from South America and Australia and Europe and Canada and all over North America, folks from Japan. And what we do is we talk about what the trends are that we're seeing. So, for example, we'll understand how fishing in Japan is very, very different than it is for most of the rest of the world. You know, over there, there's a lot more mobile phone fishing. There's a lot more fishing against gambling and gaming sites. So the type of messaging, the type of technology, the type of abuse and sites that they're going after is very, very different than what we might see in the UK, and which is different than what we would see in the US. And it's very different than what they might see, for example, in Brazil. So part of the meeting is to understand what's changed in the last 4 to 6 months. How is it changing globally? How can we learn from that? Where do we think the new attacks will come from? So, for example, if we see a new attack methodology in Australia, history has shown that that attack will typically get replicated against targets in the UK and then will come to the United States. There's a proven sort of flow of how they scale these attacks out across more and more companies. So Australia, small focus, UK, 4 or 5 times bigger, and then they come to the US. We can learn things about malware from what we see going on in Brazil and the work that Brazil CERT has been doing to track and analyze the effectiveness of different antivirus and anti-malware technologies. And we can see patterns about how the bad guys are evolving, how they're using different kinds of networking sites or ad sites to host their malware. And then another part of the meeting would be to discuss how has international law enforcement been reacting, what are the successes they've seen, how can industry work more closely with them on these problems. There's a good part of collaboration around the law enforcement side. And then there will be technology presentations looking at some of the latest attack techniques or case studies against different kinds of attacks that have happened and what was unique about them, or different kinds of ways the criminal underground are working together. So trying to understand the threat out there as well as who's behind it and how they're working together.
You mentioned cell phone phishing in Japan. We've only seen a little bit of that over here and very little cell phone spam over here. Is this something that we're likely to see more of as things like iPhone and other smartphones become more and more popular and hold more and more data?
Yes, absolutely. As platforms expand, as they become more valuable, as there becomes a reason to abuse them, the bad guys will move over onto those platforms. So, you pointed out the iPhone. It's a great product. I love that product, but it doesn't have any inbuilt anti-phishing or anti-spam. So it's a wide-open technology for abuse. And as more and more of these smartphones are out there, as they become more popular, as a single platform starts to spread, as you've got more data, maybe you've got passwords on it, then you will definitely start to see more attacks. You will see attempts to put malware onto those devices. So yeah, we're definitely can expect to see that. The good news is we're being informed about it from what we're seeing in other countries. So companies can start being more proactive and say, hey, well, we've got to start defending against these threats in our products. And I know folks like Apple are working very hard on that.
And last question before we close today. Looking back over 5 years with the group, what has surprised you? Is there anything over that period of time that would make you say, boy, I didn't see that coming?
The whole thing, actually. I'll tell you, in 2003, I honestly thought we'd have the phishing problem solved by mid-2004. I just never would have thought that we'd have seen the size and scope on a global nature. I think one of the things that surprised me was that this truly is a problem where there's an infrastructure that's been deployed of billions of people and hundreds of millions of network nodes and millions of mail servers and 100 million web servers. And that whole infrastructure has to really slowly get upgraded. And the level of industrial diplomacy that is needed is staggering. Because there's a lot of smart people out there with great ideas how to solve these problems, but they don't all agree with each other. And it's not that any one approach is necessarily better or right or correct, but there's just all of these things need to come together and be agreed upon. And you're talking about upgrading an existing infrastructure that's been out there now for 20 some years. That really surprised me that the industry could not really come together and start to agree on those things. And frankly, the complexity that's involved in trying to build these systems is just staggering the more and more you look at it. And I'd say the other thing that was quite surprising was the level of professionalism and innovation that is going on by these fraudsters. It's just amazing that people who are clearly highly educated, highly talented, are spending full time trying to come up with fraud systems to rip people off, to rip off financial institutions, to rip off e-commerce companies. It's just staggering how much effort and innovation is being put into it by the bad guys.
Dave, on that challenging note, thanks very much for speaking with us today.
Neil, thanks so much. I enjoyed it very much.
This has been Security Newsmakers. I'm Neil Reuter. Thanks for listening.